Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we teach, that who we teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt spring produce fresh water. Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water.
Isn't it great to be able to see the screen so clearly? It's a pity we didn't have them last week when we had the Exodus clips, which were not easy to see. But on Monday, along came these projectors. So thank you to whoever it was that gave us the money to get them. It's made a wonderful difference. Taming the tongue is the subject, which I hope you will have noticed tonight. And James is one of my favourite Bible characters. Certainly one of the favourite books of mine in the Bible. But I will blame the translators, but I don't quite see eye to eye with him on a number of issues tonight. And I'm going to talk about what he says and how I interpret it. But good old James, as far as I'm concerned, I say is one of the best books in the Bible. He fell out with many theologians over the years, which we've heard already, because he had this emphasis on the practical nature of Christian living, whereas many of the theologians of days gone by, and Martin Luther is the famous one, was totally dedicated to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That is all that mattered. And these other things about the life we lived were also secondary issues. And along came James, and he put them first. He didn't say, depends on the life you live as to whether you attain eternal life. He didn't say that at all. He said, if you have faith, then these things will happen. But it didn't clearly please some of the theologians of the day. And that carried on through only 40, 50 years ago, certainly in the lifetime of some of us. There was an enormous feeling amongst Christians that the arts were of the devil, and therefore singing, dancing, all of the artistic gifts were not Christian. And so when a wonderful guy, Morgan Derham, said, we ought to get together Christian artists and form the Christian Arts Centre group. And it was a wonderful setup. It's still going. But in those days, it really was revolutionary, people who'd got gifts, who were Christians, in the arts, all meeting together. But boy, did it get slammed by many of the Christians around the country. And then Tearfund started, same guy behind it, Morgan Derham. Exactly. And Morgan Derham said, the Bible's quite clear. We ought to be working in the community. We ought to have care for the poverty, stricken people around the world. That's part of our faith. And so he got Tearfund going and again got an enormous blast from many, many Christians who said, like Luther, what matters is preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verbally, preach it, preach it. Don't bother with these other things. Other people can get on with those. This is the verse that was behind all of what James thought. James chapter 2, verse 26. As the body without the spirit is dead, said James, so faith without deeds is dead. Faith without deeds is dead. Yes, faith is there. Of course it's there. That's the center of us, faith. But that faith is going to automatically overflow into deeds. And it was interesting that bringing it almost up to date, I was handed a extract photo from the Times this week, which said, if I can read it, in the 1970s and 80s, many seemed to miss the point that there was a social side of the gospel. The Pentecostal movement in particular, thinking the second coming was imminent, was more focused on winning souls than helping the needy. That view is supported by Matt Barlow, Chief Executive of Christians Against Poverty, CAP. He says that much of the new energy in social action is down to a change in thinking among evangelical churches. That's where we've seen the greatest growth. Deeds, the Christian and their deeds. Now, we're looking at James. We're looking just four snippets of James. It's a book that many people have described as sort of a book of sermon notes. You can take different topics out of James and preach the sermons on them. The tongue, the one we're looking at tonight. In the NIV, the Bible that we have in our seats, chapter 3, 5 says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. And the whole of the background of this chapter has been interpreted, and it's in our title tonight, that the tongue is an evil being. We'd be better off without it. James chapter 3, verse 5, same verse in my favorite edition of the Message, a word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything, or destroy it. It can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. And I want to start tonight by thinking about what the tongue can accomplish. Rather than all the evil that flows from it, what can it actually accomplish? James says, quite rightly, it's like a fire. You spark, cigarette butt goes, and wow. I read somewhere that 60 blocks had been burnt down in Chicago some years ago because somebody left an iron on an ironing board. The fire can spread very rapidly, and it can be absolutely devastating. But that can be for good or bad. There's some wonderful things that one wants to see spread. We talk about revival in the Welsh Valley some years ago, and it spread like wildfire. Good fire. And then the ship, the other illustration that is such an obvious one. The rudder of the ship, massive ship, but just a little shift, can steer that whole ship. And within our lives, just a little thing can happen that steers. Concordia, the captain just steered it a little bit towards the shore and disaster occurred. It's powerful, the tongue, and it's very effective. Let's just think of a couple of good things about the tongue, things that we need to bear in mind in our lives as we day to day use our tongue. Inspiration. There's two gentlemen who use their tongue to great effect, very positively. Winston Churchill there, credited with... we'll come on to the second one. It depends which team you support. We'll all support Churchill. The war, many people would say, was won by Churchill's inspiration. The use of the tongue, a fire that spread, and it spread for good. Alex Ferguson, manager of Manchester United, and it's suggested by many that the success of that team over the years was because at half-time, the team would come into the dressing room and Alex Ferguson, either gently or he was known as the hairdryer because some of his expressions towards his team were not quite so gentle, but the inspiration was there. When they came out for the second half, they were a different team. The tongue was used in a very mighty way. John chapter 1, verse 41. The first thing Andrew did, having met with Jesus, was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We found the Messiah, that is, the Christ." Andrew was inspired by what Jesus had said to him. He was inspired and he went straight out and said to his brother, "Come, we found the Messiah." The tongue can be a mighty fire for good with inspiration. People can go away from having listened to us inspired in their life. Good news. The tongue, teaching. Why am I standing here? We want to teach. We want to see what the Bible says. We want to teach each other. And so the tongue is being used to teach. We find Peter and John in the Acts preaching their heart out. 3,000 people. 3,000 people from the teaching that they got gave their life to Jesus. The tongue spreading a massive wildfire. 3,000 people because of the teaching. Teaching children. I've said to a number of people in the last week, because I was so impressed, I went to a school 10 days ago, and I don't think I'd been and looked around a school since I left, and that's a few years back. I popped in occasionally, popped in at St. Paul's for some assemblies and so on, but to go round that school, a Christian school, a Church of England school with Christian leadership, and pop in on one little group. They meet between 8 and 9 in the morning, because that's a time that's free time, said the headmistress. The children like coming in early, so between 8 and 9, we do pastoral sort of things. And I popped into one group, and there was a lovely lady discussing with girls the role of women in society today. And they were really going at it, really going at it, teaching. Went down the corridor to a group of lads, and they were thinking about careers, and the master had great list of careers, and as I walked in, the one that they were just looking at was caring. And he said to these lads, you know, which gender are the carers? Oh, it's the girls, the women. Oh, you don't care? Oh, well, yeah, we do care, sir. And he then just opened up. And I thought, this is wonderful. And there was other issues as well. Children being taught, the rudder being turned, those kids, 11, 12-year-olds, life being changed. The mouth being used for good. Philip was doing a great job in the city and got a message from God, crazy message, saying, "Go out into the desert and you'll meet somebody." And sure enough, out into the desert he went and met this Ethiopian ruler who'd been worshipping in Jerusalem and was reading the book of Isaiah and didn't understand it. "How can I understand it," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The mouth. Philip sitting teaching this Ethiopian ruler. What change of direction came in the life of that ruler? What fire might have spread because of the tongue being used for good? Encouragement. What a wonderful opportunity we have to use our tongue to encourage people. Paul was preaching, finished preaching, said, "I'm moving on." And the people said, "No, no, please come back again. Please come back. We want to hear you." And so on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of God. Encouragement coming from our tongue. Adoration. We've just been singing and worshiping God, our tongue, for good. For good. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse. But for good. And finally, I've used the word care. I couldn't think of a better one. A good man, says Luke, brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. I use that because many years ago, my Bible class leader was a great man, a bit boring, always dressed in a three-piece suit, even when he did the gardening, I think. He was that sort of person, but a real man of God. And at his Thanksgiving service, funeral, whatever it was, I've forgotten, somebody said they never heard him use a harsh or ill word about anybody. He would always find the good in an individual and speak about that. A wonderful opportunity, the tongue being used for good, to speak good about people, instead of, as we're going to comment on in a moment or two's time, the whispering campaign that I think so much is part of what James is saying in this chapter. Things for good, but the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. That's what sets the tone for this chapter. That's why I was keen to make those other comments about the fire being raging fire for good. There will be some people, yes, there will be some people around tonight who will remember the name Gerald Ratner. Oh, good, there's a nod. Oh, yeah, a few nods. The older members of our congregation. He owned a big jewellery company, very successful. And one day he was speaking at the Albert Hall with Institute of Directors, or one of those big organizations. And as a bit of an aside, he said, "How well we do. We've got some rubbish jewelry and we polish it up and we sell it." And people laughed. It hit the press and his company went bust within 18 months because the world out there said, "Hey, why are we having to buy rubbish?" We didn't realize that. The tongue can be a destruction. That very successful business literally went bust because of those few sentences that he uttered at the Albert Hall. I know two vicars or pastors within not many miles of here who have been driven out of their churches by whispering campaigns, call it what you like. But it's people who got the wrong end of the stick, word went round like wildfire. And those men found themselves in a position where they just couldn't keep going. Everything was building up against them. the whispers were everywhere. And even worse, as one of them said to me, it was the people who said to other folk in the church, this is very confidential, it's just for your prayer. And these malicious things were said. I don't know all sides of either story. All I do know is that two men that are excellent men, and without there being any sort of criminal proceedings or anything like that, lives destroyed by the tongue of people who chose to whisper. The fire spread in no time. Many people in the congregations of the churches didn't really know what it was all about. A bit like the party game when you whisper the message down the line. When it gets down here, it's a bit different to what started out here. But life became intolerable. The tongue can be a destroyer. I mentioned dear Cliff a few weeks ago. I mention him again. What a discouragement the tongue can be, that somebody can make an allegation, and to say he's discouraged is putting it mildly. Didn't go to Wimbledon last week, which is one of the joys of his life, because the media would take him over. The tennis would be forgotten. He's just having to hide away until this wretched thing goes. The tongue, somebody who said something, and the fire spread. And as he said, life will never be the same again. People will, for the rest of my life, talk about smoke and fire. The tongue can be used for a loss of faith. I've been reading Galatians recently, and Paul said, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserted the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. And again, you foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. Somebody has bewitched you. Somebody has drawn you aside, has pulled you off from the truth. How simple it is for words to be exchanged and faith to be knocked. The rudder just turns and the life goes off in the wrong direction. This is what Paul is saying to the Galatians. The tongue can cause a loss of faith. And just a couple of things as I finish. Interesting, the phrases that are part of common life today. A forked tongue. Bite your tongue. Tongues wagged. Slip of the tongue. The tongue is so much part of our everyday thinking. They're normal phrases. A tongue which really can spread the fire for good or evil. I was told as a little child, and here I am remembering the words today, before you say anything, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it kind? Very simple. But when you actually think about those three words, it isn't difficult, though we tend to lose our way, but it's not difficult to make sure that what we say is true. Dreadful if it isn't. Is it helpful? And we're quite good often at throwing words out that aren't really terribly helpful. Is it kind? Well, we're certainly good at tossing out words that may not be kind. Our words need to be words that are absolutely of integrity. The Christian says yes, and this again is very clear in James. And if he or she says yes, it's yes. If they say no, it's no. There is no arguing. It isn't, oh, well, it's a bit, you know, a bit grey. Yes, yes, no, no. That needs to be the truth behind what we say. Somebody said to me not long ago, when there was a discussion about something, oh, well, no, I know, because I spoke to her. And the other person said, I listened to her. Quite telling, isn't it? Two ears, one mouth. Perhaps the two ears are more important sometimes than the one mouth. As often, the good old psalmist, set a guard over my mouth, Lord, keep watch over the door of my lips. May these words of my mouth, this meditation of my heart, be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunities we have as Christians to use our mouth for good. And Lord, we ask tonight that we may make a new commitment to ourselves and to you, that the words we speak will be in love, will be kind, will be true, will be helpful. Father, may we look to the positives of using our tongue, that the fire that spreads from what we say, that the rudder that's turned from what we say may be for good. Help us, as James said, it's an impossible task, and we need your help.